leave that full committee strength for a roll call. No youth and governance. Rule of the minutes from the previous meeting, if everyone had received those, had a chance to go and move them.
I have a question.
Yeah.
I communicated there that Supervisor Cardell was excused. I remember you saying last meeting, you had no idea where it was. So was he excused? He was excused in minutes. He is excused.
I didn't do it.
Okay, so would he unexcused that person?
Right, we didn't have communication last week. You didn't have communication that Supervisor Cardell wasn't going to be here. So it should be that he wasn't excused for last week.
Right.
For last week.
Right.
If I may, thank you.
Yes.
Chairman Olbermann, I called you afterwards. I told you I missed the email. I apologize. So I don't know if that changes anything. But I did miss the email for rescheduling.
You what?
I did miss the email for a rescheduled meeting, and I do apologize.
Right. I don't think it's that important a deal myself, so if you miss, you miss. I miss a lot of emails and things. With not being at the meeting, we're going to leave it not excused.
Motion approved.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the minutes from the previous meeting. All those in favor?
Aye.
So, I'm not going to eat up a lot of time here tonight. I've been at a lot of county functions as our Parks Director, Matt, and I've also been back and forth. There's two big projects going on the West End. I almost feel like an engineer the times I stop in at those projects. But my main focus tonight is going to be the budget. I've gone through the budget with the county executive and Ray and our staff. The budget for this committee and the county budget is going to be presented to all of us tomorrow evening. It wasn't yet printed when we met last Thursday or Friday, I believe. And I always stress it out, and I'll do it again after we get it. Our meeting to go through the budget for our four divisions here is going to be on the 15th of October in this building. And then on the 24th, I believe, we go before the county board. So, when you receive your budget, everyone here is at your disposal. Jim Kupfer, naturally, is the guy that has all the mechanisms in his head for what we need. Ray will be at your disposal for questions. Clement, Frank, Mike, anything, Dan, anything in any of these budgets. Matt, the preferable way to handle it is naturally to give them a call. It helps you, it helps them, it helps the budget hearings go smoothly. I have never once seen a last moment move on the county board floor succeed. So if there's anything you want to do as far as working through this budget, changing anything, suggestions, do it in the working meetings that we have, and do it on the phone or on emails with the staff. You can go past this staff. You can call the county executive's office if you have questions and want some details. But it is so much preferred by everyone involved if it's done in the 4 weeks prior to when we pass that budget. And it's so much easier for everybody. So we're going to receive ours tomorrow evening. We're going to have then a week and a half for you to look at that before we meet. And again, staff is so available for it, and it helps you, it helps everyone. So with that, I'll move on to any other committee members.
We talked about meeting a little bit earlier on that Wednesday. It's moving a meeting to 6 o'clock. Are we still doing that?
Yeah.
Okay, so it will be 6.
Yeah.
So, I just want to clarify, because you said Wednesday, Supervisor.
Wednesday. Oh, I'm sorry, Monday.
Okay, I just, yeah. Good.
Any other committee members? Yeah. If not, we will move on to citizens' comments. Any citizens that would like to address the committee on any matter pertaining to public works, golf facilities, highly. You would have 5 minutes to speak. The only thing we ask is that you give your name and address. Any citizens wish to speak? Seeing none, we'll move on. Dan, your first on division reports this evening.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We're in the process of completing our aerification of all the golf courses. Aerification is necessary because of all the compaction that causes from people walking or riding on the golf courses. I do have a typo, I'm sorry, in the first paragraph there. It says the aerification for pets is completed. We thought we were going to be able to do that today, but with all the rain, we were not able to get out there. So it will be done probably next Monday, depending on the weather. But the white birch, the back is done. We are doing the renovation of the bunkers on it, and so we were able to do the aerification of that. When we switch over to the front nine on the white birch for the renovation of the bunkers, that's when we'll be doing the front nine of the white birch. Currently, we have 36 holes open at Brighton Day. We have the red and the white birch front, and the blue spruce is open. We do have a big event the weekend of the 11th and 12th, and right after that, we will be aerifying the red pines. And then the blue spruce, we're going to hold off until next spring to do the aerification of that. So with the aerification, we do have all the tees done at the golf courses, we're planning on probably doing some fairway aerification as the season wraps up. But it really does help the grass grow and the conditions out there. Our next big initiatives, we've had really great response for all of these. Our senior scramble is this Friday, October 5th, and then also Saturday, October 13th. We will be doing the Brightondale Open, which is a 27-hole event. We will be awarding 2019 season passes for those events. And then last for October, we'll be having the Halloween Horror on the 27th. And the guests really enjoy these events. We do get great turnouts. I think we'll be selling out the Brightondale Open I think all of them will sell out. We're talking about 144 players for the Senior Scramble, 144 for the Brightondale Open, and possibly that many for the Halloween Horror, too. So it'll be great. The Kenosha County Executive Cup was held on Tuesday, September 11th. Went splendidly, really. I mean, really, really went well. What's that?
Love the word splendidly.
Yeah, it did. I mean, it was fantastic. I mean, Mr. Kupfer did a great job finding gifts for everybody and prizes, and we had 147 people play that day, and we had great food and great camaraderie, and I think, you know, we raised at least $15,000 for our junior golf program, so really happy about that. And then projects that we're working on, we need to dredge the lagoon for the wastewater treatment plant at Brightondale. We'll have Pats come over and pump that out and get that ready for another season. The renovation project for the bunkers is going fantastic. We're doing not only all the bunkers, digging them out, putting in new drainage, putting in this better Billy bunker liner. I'm really going to have state-of-the-art bunkers that should give us a good length of useful life of those bunkers, we're also addressing some drainage issues while we're doing that, and really putting in some drain tile and getting some areas that don't normally drain very well, drain better. And you know, with the weather the way it's been, you know, especially like today, you know, work gets canceled because of you know, you can't be out there causing more damage than you're doing good. And so, you know, it is getting pushed back a little bit. We still have, you know, the 1st of November target for the completion date, but really the back of the white is pretty much closed for the year. When we switch over to the front, you know, the white will be closed for the year. But with 27 holes, we'll still have the capacity that we feel that we need out at Brightondale. So, and then, boy, the golf courses were in excellent shape. You know, every time that the weather's been nice, you know, we've been busy, and the vertical cutting and top dressing spraying programs at Brightondale really have made the greens in fantastic condition. So I'm really happy to report the all the pleasant comments that I get from all of our guests saying that our golf courses have never been in better shape. So it's been a solid season, that's for sure, except for these rainy days. So
yes.
Dan, one other thing. I think when I was out there, you said that the updating of the sand trips, you're removing some, updating, and then the ongoing maintenance of that cost will go down measurably.
Right.
So this is also a cost savings.
For sure.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else for Dan? Thank you, Mike. Oh, see, I didn't put my glasses on. They're right here.
I don't care. It's all right. If the brewer game was on, I'd object, but it's not, so I'm good.
Mike, sorry, Dad.
All right, sorry. I'm going to start with the ongoing status report first and get the focus on it in 1 second. Four projects on the ongoing list. The first one is the courthouse chiller replacement. There are no updates to add to that. It's just plotting on, waiting for the units to get here and start the project. Second one is the KCDC groove coupling replacement project. Reporting on that is work's going well and it's on schedule. No hiccups at all. Third one is the KCJC boiler replacement project. We opened bids on the 19th. There were four local bidders, which was really nice to see. Martin Peterson, Just Service, Lee Plumbing, and a new one we haven't seen called Miserelli Sorensen. In Kenosha, they are kind of known, but they want to get into the commercial side more. Miserelli Sorensen was the lowest bidder, and they bid $58,785. So they were awarded the project after some vetting and a pre-construction meeting on the 24th. Work is scheduled to start on the 1st, which is today, and I didn't have a chance to check on that, as you can imagine, right? And it's going to be done by the end of the month, so it should go along really well. The last project on that list is the KCDC automatic transfer switch replacement project. Finance Committee on the 13th approved additional funds so we could go forward. And we had a pre-construction meeting scheduled for the 26th of September, but some people couldn't make it, so we scheduled it to the 4th of October. That's it for that list. We'll focus on energy, just a couple simple updates, nothing earth-shattering. Right at the top, the PSB upgrade jail dorm lights to LED went from pre-construction to ongoing, so it's getting started actually today. We're doing that in-house with our maintenance staff there and our electrician. We're giving them 3 months to get it done, so out to the end of the year. You can see I've got NA for incentives, and I'm waiting for a response back from Focus on Energy on what those will be. I'm not sure there are going to be any because it's a very unique project. The lights are very specific, and they need to be on a list to qualify for an incentive. I'm going to be surprised if they're on a list. That project is really driven by, you know, there is savings just going from fluorescent lights to LED, and a huge maintenance factor, because in the jails you've got the prisoners in there, and then the maintenance staff has to get a guard to go in and change it. You've got a secure fixture that you got to tear apart with special tools and put that together. So by adding LED lights up there, that reduces maintenance significantly. So that's a big one for our guys in the safety building. The second project on that list is the boilers at the job center, and it's just changed from the status from pre-construction to ongoing. This shows that it starts today and is done by the end of the month. Project cost is listed, as I said, in the other list, and again, I'm waiting for the incentives also from Focus on Energy on that. And that's it for the list.
Mike, could you just briefly, it's a time of year where we usually don't have a new supervisor, but we do.
Mm-hmm.
If you could explain for Supervisor Cardinelli benefit this Focus on Energy program.
Sure. This started a long time ago before I was actually here. I've been here for 4+ years. Jim, Frank, they were all, and Amy from Planning and Development, they were doing an initiative to look at projects that could be supported by Focus on Energy, which is a We Energies program, to incentivize us to take on projects that save energy. So we started looking at different things, and they had an energy team that could support us. We have an energy advisor, which I work with today. We had a energy engineer that would come around to our buildings and survey them and look for projects to do that would save energy. So we went around to all the different buildings and came up with what was called a level 2 assessment. In that assessment, they had probably anywhere from 8 to 12 items that they suggested that we take on as projects. We looked at that and picked out the ones we wanted to do based on budgetary constraints and started going forward with them. A lot of them were electrical and LED, and then the HVAC side, you know, with savings for BTUs and energy efficient equipment. So we've been going through them. So if you look at the list, it's kind of broken up into about a quarter on the top, and then there's a break, and then the rest down below. Those are the completed ones that we've finished since, I guess there's some in there from 2015, and all the results from that. So that's the past, and then the ones we're currently working on, the ones above, and it shows all the savings. So
thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Any other questions for Mike? That now we'll move on to her.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First project, the public safety building and the three child building replacement projects. We complete the punch list, we closed out the project, and as expected, we're looking at about coming in about $200,000 under budget for this project again. That was again due to working with Ray, Jim Kupfer, and purchasing, moving our engineering to be here before, and then getting the bids out in the street right away when contractors had their books empty, and we get really favorable pricing. So it worked well for us again. It's a good formula that we're going to keep utilizing. If no questions, I'll move on to Anderson Arts Center Preservation Project. We did receive the bids on September 20th. We're currently evaluating the bids to make sure that they all had their proper scope. We're working with Mosey on that. Again, we're looking at beginning construction early in 2019.
How'd the bids look in comparison? Are they close to estimate? I'm not looking at the exact numbers.
That's a good question. We came in just under what we proposed as a budget.
So
we're looking okay, but that's again part of the
evaluation.
Sitting down every single subcontractor,
yeah,
making sure they have the full scope in their number.
Right.
To make sure we're all covered, but right now we look okay.
Good.
Preliminarily.
Right.
This is a major project, and you'll learn more with the budget also. It was hinted to us that there was other funding there, outside funding coming in, so that's all going to be in the budget. I believe it's $2.5 million of it is outside. And basically it's the city. So our end of the project is going to be much more palatable because the city realizes what an asset we are, and that is to the city, the Art Center. And they've already passed it in their budget. Or not it. The city council has passed it.
Yeah. If I can add, we use the same methodology we did all the upfront work. We got the architect involved way early on this year so that we could go right, working with Camozzi as construction manager, get the bids out of the street early so that we could get favorable pricing. People's books were still subcontractor schedules were still pretty open, bidding for next year, mm-hmm, instead of waiting, because as sure all of you know, all the contractors are so busy that the bids are going out. So again, it seemed to work good well for us getting it out on the street early.
So the methodology you're utilizing right now has a lot of logic to it. What was done previously, or what was the approach that was previously followed, and do you see yourself returning to that practice?
Well, I
might speak to Supervisor Skolinski. So the previous purchasing administration took a different view and really frowned on us doing engineering and getting things prepped and ready to go before a budget was passed. We never award any contracts, we never do anything until the money is passed and available, but we found that by accelerating the actual design engineering, getting all that stuff done, and actually going out and getting the bids early or late in the season, basically, for the next year, it's hit huge payoffs. And the current, Matt Fleming, I can't say enough good about him, the new purchasing director, he just takes a very progressive view. He does the research to make sure everything is done, it's all kosher and consistent, but he uses really best practices. So he's really helped. So I don't see us going back to how we did it before.
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah.
And are you able to use internal engineering resources? Is that how you're getting the engineering phase done, or are you still using some outside service?
Yeah,
you've got enough money, you know, with the kid, if you would, to be able to pay for that up front before the next budget comes through, right?
So we typically do contract for those services. If you know, like, Frank's a project engineer, but we don't have any HVAC engineers. We have an HVAC journeyman that does, you know, that kind of, you know, hands-on trades guy, but we don't have any engineering in-house. And I don't see us changing that model either, because as long as we've got the horsepower internally to manage the projects, but as needed we go out for the specific types of engineering, it just is a much more efficient delivery system, we feel.
And you have enough of that factored into your budget then?
Yeah, yeah.
Based on this kind of a shift in the way you guys are doing things.
Yep.
And if it's saving money to practice, you should start, you know, obviously implementing it.
What you'll see is some major aspects of this. One is the lakefront at the Kemper Center, the pre-work that we're doing on that, the grants that we've received. We will be the only shovel-ready project in Kenosha County and along that lakefront. If federal funds are available, we'll be the first one. And we're finding on all of this now that it's getting tighter and tighter and tighter. So this has been, it's been working well for 4 years this way, where we've saved a ton of money. Unfortunately, we've had to use it on other projects, but it's working out. Right.
Okay. No further questions. We'll move on to the Branch 1 courtroom renovation project. We've got IT in working now. The technology, it's amazing, even from year to year it's changing. So we've got IT working with the design team, working with the audiovisual contractor people that we work with, and now there's, the state has, is coming up on a new system, so we're looking to the future, putting in the chases, putting in the cabling. Even though they're not using it today, it's in the pipeline so that we don't have to, you know, drill holes or change anything around in the courtroom. So that did add another layer to the whole design of the project. But so now we're looking at targeting development of the bid level plans and specs by the end of October, with the holidays and everything, and as we've booked up as the contractors go. We feel we're going to get better pricing, targeting construction begin January.
So you've got our internal IT people as well as external, so that you do have a clear understanding of where things are going the latest.
Okay, exactly.
Because you're right. Every year it's so.
Okay. It is. It truly is from one project that we did the year before.
Absolutely. Yeah. Here you go.
Thank you very much, Frank. We will move on to Clement, Highway.
And thank you, Mr. Chairman. First one would be the Consideration of a resolution to appoint Ms. Patrice Hall to serve on the county, Kenosha County Traffic Safety Commission. The resolution is in front of you, and her resume is attached. She has a very extensive experience in medical inspection and forensic investigation. I think she's already in the traffic committee already, but traffic safety committee. But I think your tenure is over. That we're just renewing it.
Yes, correct.
So
if anyone has any questions, Patrice Hall is our current medical examiner and is, as Clement said, serving half his time. And when your time is up, you have to be reappointed, and is a critical person and expertise to have on that committee. So if we have any questions or if we could have a motion to approve.
Let's go. War Eagle?
Good afternoon.
So you really want to do this again, is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, thanks. I've been serving down there since I've been here for 7 years now, and I started, I think, in 2012. Right after I got here, I was appointed. So, yeah, I've been to all the meetings. Sometimes there's like, it's pretty rare that I'm not able to make it to a meeting, but if I'm not able to make it to a meeting, then I send my chief deputy or my deputy medical examiner to step in. But for the most part, I'm able to be there, and Clement's on there too. And I give the reports every 3 months that we're there. I go over the toxicology, the cause of death, the manner of death, things like that. So,
great.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Sure. Cool.
Yeah, can you tell us or enlighten us as to what is the most deadly type of traffic accidents out there then?
Most? I don't have any stats with me right now, but a good majority of the accidents that take place do involve alcohol or drugs. So it's pretty rare to see it not involve alcohol or drugs.
So it's not really the intersection or the lights, it's the
most
human
of the
factor.
Times. That we find people are under the influence of alcohol or drugs. So, it's a continuing problem, not just with traffic, but with the opioid epidemic too. So,
I'll move the resolution to appoint Ms. Patrice Hall.
Moved and seconded to approve the appointment. Any other discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. So I really thank you for coming out here this evening.
No problem.
Really very much appreciate your serving on this committee.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm on the library board and it's thankless. So Clement, we'll move on.
Okay. The next item is a letter to finance the repurposed capital funds to purchase a triaxle truck. This was part of our budget. The truck was in the 2018 budget, but however, the bids came out a little bit more than what was budgeted for the truck. And in the process of buying most of the equipment and other trucks, we still have some funds left. And we are requesting to repurpose about $28,900 to make up for the shortfall of the budget. So we are presenting this letter and for your approval, and after that it will go to the Finance Committee.
So there's no action needed by this committee, but the Finance Committee has to, so there will be no resolution for them also, since it's in the same budget category and that funds are there.
I'm assuming these funds are combined for, correct?
Yeah.
I guess what's his job?
Okay, that's expensive, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
So, divisional report. Last month, we were fully engaged with general maintenance, no major projects. Doing things like mowing, shouldering, crack sealing, trash pickup on county highways. At this time, we started preparing the stage for actually preparing the trucks, the fleet, and the heavy-duty equipment for winter operations. We're hoping to start it sometime this month, maybe by the end of this month. On our paving, we had actually complete, because of the rain, we couldn't complete it today, but it was scheduled to be completed today. The last segment of highway to be paved, which is County Trunk Highway MB, from 142 to County Trunk Highway A, which is about 2.4 miles. And that will conclude our paving program for 2018, which is about 13.1 mile of county highway paved in 2018. So we meet our target for 2018. We are also continuing the state work on state trunk highway 31 with the concrete blowouts, and then hopefully we'll be able to complete that project by the end of next week, after which we might then do the state paving project, which is the East Frontage Road just south of 165, and the lower limit is just the last driveway for the outlet mall. We are hoping to start that project sometime in mid-October. On other county projects, County Trunk Highway S, the public hearing for the project was held on September 20th, 2018, and we recorded about 77 attendees. The residents had the opportunity to present their testimonies and concerns about the project, which were all recorded by a court reporter. And all the comments were submitted to FHWA. Meanwhile, we still have about 2 weeks where the residents who did not present in a verbal testimony can do a written testimony. This week is the last week. At the end of this week, they'll compile all the testimonies and concerns, and then we'll incorporate them into the design process for the project. And after all this is done, then the FHWA will now give the final approval for the environmental document. So far, the project is still on schedule to be reconstructed in 2020.
I had a constituent contact me about, and I was a little confused given that, even though it's a county project, but it's a state highway too. So, talking about the way the county or the organization of county had engaged with regarding, were we acquiring properties and things?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know the extent or where. Again, I've been trading phone calls, I've been able to line up, but did you get some feedback from anybody on that with the public hearing, or maybe directly to you guys on that? Again, I've left multiple messages. He tries being, we miss each other, it is what it is. But I was left the impression that they weren't enamored with the way, whatever organization is we're working with, mm-hmm. for the acquisitions. I don't have specifics, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I don't think they had issues with the real estate consultant. I think it just some of them wanted that their entire properties be acquired. And unfortunately, we can only acquire what we need.
Right.
So those are some of the concerns. They will give us some of the reasons why the project is not favoring them as far as their location of their property. And that was a reason for them to encourage the county to acquire the entire property so they could have like 10 acres and we want just 2 acres, and they wanted to acquire all 10.
Yeah, you need a half by 10.
Yeah, so those are some of their major concerns. And then the other concern that we had was some residents thought that they would prefer the project to go in different, to be constructed at different times. But we don't really have that luxury sometimes, so they all have to go as one to make it a complete project. And of course, inconvenience the public once instead of inconveniencing them several times.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, we're planning on four lanes plus a center lane?
Four lane plus a median.
Which would be a full lane wide or?
Usually they're a little bit wider okay. than a lane wide.
And just like at 100th Avenue there, you know, there's really, unless you're going to be driving right next to someone's bedroom, there, I think some of those properties probably have to, and you got now teed off, you know, marble, and it's the old, I can't remember the previous owners, he's been here.
Strong.
It's, if you want, Strong. So some of those properties we are acquiring, the whole thing, I mean, it just, literally, I think it'd be, you'd be right next to there.
I'm not familiar with the exact property, but some of the property we are acquiring them,
okay.
and we are also participating in assisting them to relocate.
I will continue trying to get them back with this constituent, but I just wanted to ask because I wasn't exactly sure. We're only acquiring what we need and nothing more.
Correct.
Correct? Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter if they like it or not, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
It's unfortunate, but it is.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
To go.
County Trunk Highway W. This project is on schedule, and we are hoping that again the contractor is trying to accelerate things, but we are hoping that everything should be completed no later than mid-November. But if everything works well, it could be completed a little bit earlier. We're just depending on the weather and how fast the contractor gets things done. But he's really working hard. If you had the opportunity to have, I mean, been to the site, you'll see that they're really pushing it, and they've done some amazing work out there.
They're out there on Sunday.
Yeah. So we are hoping that they complete it ahead of schedule so that we open the road and everybody can drive a little bit faster.
The neighbors that I spoke to, Clement, since I'm one of the neighbors, I mean, that's not where I live, but I have land there where I grew up. They all hope it stays closed.
What is actually delaying the project's mosquitoes. The mosquitoes are just, I mean, it might sound like a joke, but that is true. They spend more time spraying the mosquitoes than doing the actual work.
These guys are, some of them are from Minnesota, most of the workers are from here, and I've spent some time out there with them, and they're tough and used to the weather we are, but the other day, after it got cool, the guy that's in charge of the directional boring, there's 64 of these 40-foot directional borings that go in, it's tedious, slow, and the guys are standing there and just, but they all have to be there. He bought, and I walked past one of the generators, and sitting on top of it was a bug zapper. That's the first time on any construction job I've seen a bug zapper. And he had one out there this week. And he said, yeah. I said, are they that bad? Because right in the middle of Highway W, 87 degrees a week ago, we couldn't talk.
Yeah.
It was that bad. These guys are out there. So he bought, he said it was on sale. And so he had it sitting on top of the generator.
Yeah, just then, as a follow-up, I know one of the residents was here complaining.
Mr. Grubb.
Yes, complaining about the detour route. Mm-hmm. I think I know it says it's in progress in this report, but I think it's completed right now.
Talked to me either Friday or maybe it was this morning, I don't remember. Mm-hmm. And he was saying that he noticed that the signage has changed.
Mm-hmm.
He says, yeah, there's still those people who know about going down that far, or going down that far, but he said, he didn't see any of the other stuff. He said, just hold on, it'll be okay, just relax. So I'll tell him tomorrow the updates that we have.
Yeah, and the signs are up too. Regarding the alerting the drivers regarding the intersection.
Yeah, he might not have gone that way. So
okay, so it is on the west side of the hill, mm-hmm. when you get, before you get to the hill. Right now, because of the concern, the severity of the concern, we decided to install fixed signs for now, and we have ordered the flashing signs so that when they come, we can just replace, but the signs are there, at least those who are, people like me who pay attention will look at the sign and obey. And
who aren't under the influence, as you know, we know it's a big problem out there. So
I'm never under the influence. So.
And we have found those to be effective. The chairman, I don't remember, on Highway C, we had for probably a year, we had folks that had safety concerns about school buses being stopped in blind hills.
Yeah.
And we put those flashing signs in, it really, it was more effective than any of us thought it would be. So in this location, is it going to stop, you know, everybody or wake everybody up? Probably not. But
see something,
but a lot of folks will at least,
what's that? Yeah.
You know, tune them into, hey, there's a blind hill, there's an intersection over the top. Yeah.
Well, they really were.
Yeah.
It's the end of J.I., I call it Lily.
Yeah.
That's J.I. That one, that was one of our first ones. That really stopped
stop
a
people
lot of
from
trouble.
Going through.
Okay. County Trunk, the next project is County Trunk Highway F realignment. A public information meeting for this project will be scheduled sometime in October or maybe in early November, just depending on where we are with engineering. And then construction for this project is also targeted to start in late 2019, that's what we are hoping, because the intention is to construct the roadbed and allow it to sit during the winter and consolidate so that when we come to construct, it would be fully consolidated and have enough compaction where we can then pave the road. But that is what we are shooting for. Again, it all depends on the weather, and it depends on right-of-way acquisition and relocation of utilities. So but we are hoping...
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We are hoping that if everything works well, we should be starting late 19.
Believe there's a question.
Yeah, I did have a question. I don't know if this is related to that, that we're even doing it. I don't know what, but on O, Highway O, between F and 50, I mean, there's just trees coming down.
Oh, that's the
flags
that's
the
power line.
That is, that's the, okay, I was going to ask
ATC.
ATC. Okay.
Yeah, that's ATC.
Okay, just want to make, I just didn't know.
Yeah, they bought, they've been negotiating with all those homeowners since last year.
Wow.
On what they'd give them for those trees.
Well, so they rerouted it? Was it originally coming down 50 and kicking over? Or is this a different line?
No, it's like a sub going to that one in Twin Lakes by Badgerland Products.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's not the main line.
Because there's actually, there is one that continues on 50. Yep.
They're now got the road all mudded up by Badgerland because they're upgrading that one.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, Fox Corner and related DOT projects. Well, the last time we communicated here about the truck traffic on County Trunk Highway A and D, they have significantly reduced. Once in a while, some of you might find one or two trucks, because sometimes those who are new or their first time to come, they use the GPS tend to take them that route. We're working with the department to try to see that if anybody is new, they should kind of program their GPS so that they stay on the dedicated routes. And I got an email today again from a secondhand email from one of the supervisors regarding the resolution that was passed regarding the speeding on A.
Paris Town Board.
Yeah, Paris Town Board.
Did they, because I've been kind of waiting to hear myself.
Yep.
Yes.
They passed.
So I let them know that I need the original resolution for my file. But if I have an email so that I could start
get going,
and that would still work. So that's where we are. And then generally, the last part of the report is just the long-term closures. I just did repeat the same thing, so that if somebody asks questions, you might at least know where to look for answers. That would be it for me tonight.
Something that I don't know if it, where this falls into, but there's an area in Camp Lake Gardens that's getting a lot of flooding off of. I mean, it's just natural drainage through underneath the road and highway. See, we've talked about that large drain town. It's actually hitting the culverts, hitting the ditch line, going through the ditch line, getting underneath where the next road, and then it hits the county-owned property where it is flat as this rug. Mm-hmm. Where if you look at going back the years that they had the satellite photos, you could see how it's supposed to swell back and then head back to the west and into the lake, and it just seems to be coming up and over. So the question is there something we can do on the property to bring it back so it'll swale where it's supposed to swale, or can at least be looked at to see if that can be done? I can get you all that information. Salem Lakes had brought that up. Their engineering firm, not theirs, but whoever they hired, so that was one of like three options that they felt could alleviate the massive flooding that goes on there. And it's really not from July's rain. It's from almost anything that's coming down now. Because it's flowing how it should flow. There's nothing, it's just it's getting to that very flat, very, very flat area. And I know they're putting in some new roads, they're raising the roads about an inch or so, they said. But that was one of the areas they'd like to look at. So I could get you the,
okay.
I'll send you the information.
Which highway is it, Highway C?
But it'll be north of Highway C. It's that large culvert that goes underneath Highway C. It's like a 54-inch culvert or whatever. It drains from the south to the north, and then I want to say it's 274th Avenue, right there. 270th or 274th Avenue. It's right in that area.
Is that not one that we investigated regarding?
I guess 274th.
So yeah, if you could get the information who they're using on engineer, then we can get them linked up, because Andy from Planning and Development has been involved.
They sent me the information.
We've looked at that property.
Sent it to both of you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We'll do it. Thank you.
Is that between Lennon Bus and Highway C Auto Service, is it?
No. It's actually in Camp Lake Gardens.
Yeah. It's further east than north.
It's north of C.
Yeah, north of C, in the kind of subdivision itself.
Okay.
Yep.
Right. Guys, we'll look at
the water is coming from like a farm.
The
area.
Farm field, yeah. It's straining like it's supposed to drain.
I know, but we'll have to look at it.
Just see if you agree with what they agree with. There's something you want to do.
I would be curious to see what their engineer says.
Yeah,
because that
we have. I've got that information. I got his email or his information.
So, all right. Anything else for Clement? Now we'll move on to Mr. Collins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just for my division report, the first thing that I have to report on is a pretty cool Eagle Scout project. If you have time, when the mosquitoes die down over at Bristol Woods, take a walk to see that. I have an attached picture of this megaphone. This is something that Pringle Nature Center was trying to get Eagle Scout on board for a few years, and finally found Casey to do this project. So basically the idea is that you can sit inside this along the hiking trail, and it kind of amplifies all of the nature sounds around you. So it's pretty far back in the Bristol Woods and kind of a nice little serene area. So kudos to the Eagle Scouts, and we have a lot of Eagle Scouts that come to the parks to do projects almost on a monthly basis. So it's another example of partnerships. Next thing we have is a Boundless Adventures update. Design and survey work did start last week, and there's two of the designers that are actually still on site through the next week or two to come up with those plans that they'll submit to the Village of Bristol Woods and the county for our approval before construction actually starts. So they're still in the design phase, but we anticipate that they will move forward with implementing the construction this fall and winter, so things will be over at KD Park. Phase 2 development is still underway. Contractors, they've been slow in the game, to say the least, with finishing up this project. There was a delay with one of the forms was created wrong, so they needed to refabricate that, which slowed down one part of that project. But they do have up until the end of this week to have all construction done. So weather's not looking the greatest. I know that they still got quite a bit of work to do, so we're going to be hounding them to get this done sooner than later for phase two development.
Matt, was the paving right off of KD, was that just people for parking to go fishing? What was that? That wasn't part of this.
That is part of phase two next to the dam. Two spots in the park.
Oh, okay.
Paving was completed last week, which is definitely a bonus.
Yes.
I know forms were made for the ADA pathway to the pier. Okay. That didn't get poured, to my knowledge, with the pathway.
The pathway got poured.
It did get poured.
Friday.
It did. Okay.
Thursday, Friday. Yeah. And you're not going to like this. I didn't like it, but there's nothing we can do about it. Some moron, excuse my language, that does the marking for utilities came and marked our new pavement for a full line that's not even live anymore. Along KD, and if you drive along, you'll see it.
They just removed that last month.
They removed the line?
Yeah.
Correct. And the slower than molasses contractor told them, no, we don't need you to do that because we're not digging there, we're adding. But the what I call it, which one was it, moron? Well, both of them. they went and marked it. So the very slow-moving engineer that we've hired that sits in his truck all day. See, these guys are in trouble because it's a quarter mile from my shop and I go there all the time because they're way behind. So he called a guy an idiot. So I said, okay, now we're all in insurance here. So I'm sure they use oil-based paint and we're going to look at that on our brand new pavement there. It's not the end of the world, but I looked at that and I thought, Jesus. Because these people, this project is a pretty good-sized project. These people got some work at Foxconn, and they just abandoned us. They used some excuses, but the excuses aren't valid because Matt and I are checking on them all the time. And so now they're facing a deadline. But, I mean, they passed up good weather that we had in late August and early September. They walked away another. And the engineer to me says, oh, they couldn't see today. I said, do you think they're going to be able to see tomorrow? You know, I mean, pouring rain, not this week.
Right. So our expectations were delivered to them about Friday's deadline, so we'll see what they can get done this week still.
Well, whoever's in charge of that payment, don't make it.
Right. Moving on to Kemper Center Shoreline, we did start the design engineering plans per the grant that we just received, where that was a 50-50 match. So Barrett Engineers were out there with a preliminary investigation, and that is going to continue for the remainder of October to get all of their surveying done before we get way too many northeastern winds where it's going to be nearly impossible to get too close to that shoreline. And we already saw it this week when the northeastern's turning and the waves coming up on shore. So they told me that it's going to delay them for about a week or so because they can't get the people and equipment out on that shoreline. But we're moving along, and as Chairman Ellerman said, we're going to be in a really good position to have engineering plans by the end of this year for any future opportunities. So moving on to the Pike River Restoration Phase 1. Stream bank grading, rock armor, erosion control was completed at north of County Highway A. That's pretty much buttoned up. They're going to come back in spring with their subcontractor to do the actual seeding, planting, live stakes, plugs, but there's temporary seeding over the winter months. But unfortunately, the contractor, we've been hounding them on this and asking numerous times for them to get their ducks in a row, but they failed to implement erosion control methods within our project site, and the DNR did come over there and said, no work will continue until you get all your erosion control measures in place. So a majority of last week, they did do exactly that. We did have a meeting with the DNR to, again, make sure that the contractors can move forward. So there was a minor hiccup, but it was good, actually, to have the DNR present for the county because that really brought more force and validity to the county of what we've been asking needs to happen. So with them behind us, it really got them straightened out to get all those erosion control methods underway. Yes.
Oh, sure, Eva.
You brought up erosion control, and this may go to climate or terrain, but when they're taking on an erosion control permit, do they submit for a street sweeping deposit? Is there some sort of deposit giving to the county in case the erosion control measures aren't in place or the road is left dirty?
In this application, there really wouldn't be that, like what you're talking about with the street, because it's pretty much...
It's more in stream or
in the stream, and it's in the parkway, the grass area.
But it also covers a silt fencing or any hay bales or anything, any matting, anything that is not present. You can use that deposit to install it and take it out of the deposit itself.
Okay.
So, we do, there is line items for erosion control that they bid on, so it's a pay item. So we don't pay until they implement that. So if there's silt fencing or silk curtains or socks that were not implemented, they actually bid per linear foot for those line items, and they have to give us a receipt for all those things that they pay for. If we do not get those pay items received and they're not implemented, we don't pay them for them. So we did not pay for any of those things until they were implemented.
Understood. But if a project is being held up because erosion control measures aren't in place, don't we have some sort of deposit to put those in place to get the project moving?
There's liquidated damages if they exceed timelines, so we have an agreement that they have to be done now by November 30th. So it's on them to still meet those deadlines. If they don't, there's technically liquidated damages or even DNR fines that would be passed on to them if they're not adhering to those regulations or the permits. So there's penalties on the state side, there's liquidated damages on the county side.
Yeah, if I understand you very well, you're also asking that if they don't do it, we can then do it, and then they come off the deposit. But we typically don't do that, but we can do that if it's like in an extreme measure.
Okay.
And that is in a very, like even his project, we already were thinking in-house what the game plan would be if he doesn't meet those requirements, because we knew that he has failed several times.
Mm-hmm.
So we were discussing internally, what can we do if he doesn't meet it, then we can just go ahead and do, and then we'll get credit from those kind of things. Yes, it could be done, yeah, but we try not to do because it's really messy.
Right.
It's a lot of paperwork.
Right.
And then the funds right away too.
The county does not issue erosion control permit. It's the DNR that is do the review and approve the erosion control before you can even start the work.
Thank you.
So, one more.
Phase one, how many phases are there planned? How far north is this going to continue?
It goes to our property line. So it's the property line to the south where it abuts UW Parkside.
So we'll be starting in the north end and working away south?
Yes.
Okay. Some of this, I swear, was done when they did the dam removal and this other stuff, correct? Or these are the sections that weren't done? And I'm talking 2 and 3, because obviously one is... It's probably up to KR.
Yeah, the only part that was done as part of the dam removal, bridge construction, and road reconstruction. We didn't do anything in the stream other than, I'm going to say probably 100 feet either side of where the dam was, but we didn't do any work in the stream beyond that.
Okay.
That was the extent of that. This really is to do the entire river that's in our property, restore it, remove all of the invasive stuff that's been falling into the river, creating a lot of, or I should say at least aggravating the problems, the cleanup problems we have there. I don't know if you had a chance to go through there, but most of that stuff has already been removed. The grading now has taken place. Some in-stream features are being constructed to minimize the erosion going forward and really allow the river, when it does need to exceed things in a way that minimizes the damage when it comes up and then goes back down. It's going to be, I'm going to say, generally like what Mount Pleasant did on the north side of KR. Not to that extent. We don't have that kind of real estate to work with in the park proper.
Yeah.
But the functionality is going to be very similar. So when it's all done, it should continue the enhancement of that whole watershed in terms of minimizing the damage that happens when there are the rain events that are causing damage.
But does there remain sections beyond what phase three is?
Yes.
That have been untouched?
Yeah.
There's unremediated.
There's...
So we're basically making this nice area within the park and still you may have this backup due to debris and silt and all the other things downstream.
So there's
between the lake and
yeah, the work started really at the headwaters of the pike.
Yeah.
In Mount Pleasant.
Yeah.
So that they started working from that end. This is it'd be ideal. You do it in sections, linear all the way till you get to the end. But given some of the property owners that are in between us and where it left off in Mount Pleasant, there is a gap right now. What we do, though, will still accentuate the work that's already been done to the north. And we are talking with Parkside, because the next chunk would be Parkside's property.
Right.
And we're already talking with them about trying to figure out a way to get them so we can do that. Because there's actually private property owners then that are north of at Wood Road that we've had multiple conversations, because they're still receiving the brunt of the storms now.
Right.
And it's way better, because like if you go back even 5 years ago now, before we did the dam removal and before Mount Pleasant finished that, whenever we get a 1-inch rain, John Rudy would always say, 1-inch rain, we'd shut the park down for 2 to 3 days. We haven't had to do that. Even with some of the real accelerated rains we've got, it kind of comes up. But all the work we're doing is geared towards making that a better job of protecting the river, eliminating the soil erosion, or minimizing it. Ideally we do it sequentially, boom, 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 boom. This is still fairly sequential relative to what Mount Pleasant is.
So just one more point is after our meeting with the DNR today, work can continue. We can do regrading in stream structures, all that good stuff. It just has to be resolved with means and methods for our contractor to give those deliverables over to the DNR. But other than that, our project is continuing. On to Petrified Springs Park, the Wi-Fi and security cameras. Security cameras are currently operational, and surprisingly enough, two things. We were able to cite one person for illegal dumping within the park already with those cameras. And when we were given a review of all of the security cameras in the park, we had IT there, sheriffs, park staff, and there was live streaming of the video footage on a TV projector. You saw people literally live feed dumping into our dumpsters. So we're definitely going to be diligent on nipping that in the bud and getting rid of the illegal dumping within the park as part of that security camera system.
Where are they dumping?
Couches, chairs, mattresses,
anything they can.
Tires, paint, you name it. Whatever you think that you can't dispose of on your curbside,
Throw
it to our dumpsters. So other than that, Schaefer property acquisition, we did close on that on September 14th, and now we're working on plans to demolish the house. I did reach out to Summers Fire Department, so in the past we've raised buildings. We're hoping to partner with them again, so we're just waiting to hear back and utilizing their fire department for practice for that building. A lot of events happened.
It has to do with pets. It's the first time I've been down there in decades. probably long before I was a resident in this fine county of ours. And down there on the 22nd, we had the Oktoberfest. And I went and drove through just all of it, took walks, and ended up over at Oktoberfest. And it was quite a little shindig going on there. It was actually quite fun. I only got to spend about an hour and a half. County Exec Jim Cruiser and I are walking around and just talking about different things and the like. Had the largest pretzel I've ever seen in the world. Rented my beer stein. I did not, buy one, so get back. But very well received. A lot of people, games, different contests going on and all that. So it was very fun. It was a very, very good time. So kudos to Hubbard. That's moving along. It seems to be doing his job.
So that was one of the many events that we hosted this last month. September 15th was extremely busy for us. You'll see attached pictures of our Pike River cleanup sponsored by the Kenosha Sports Fishing Conservation Association. I would say that they roughly collected a 30-yard dumpster worth of debris within the Pike River. And that's not just Petrified Springs Park. They go to different campuses such as Carthage College, Parkside, and throughout the whole entire Pike River corridor. So it's kind of one of those things, like a double-edged sword in a way. It's great that they collected this, but it shouldn't have been in the river in the first place. So a lot of volunteers showed up for that, and they do on an annual basis. But it'd be great if I could say it was only a 10-yard dumpster full of debris instead of 30. Also, we had Wilmot Mountain. They brought 130 volunteers, which accumulated to over 520 hours of community service. This is the second year that Wilmot Mountain hosted an Epic Promise Day within our park system. And some volunteers, you know, they come there and they pick up, you know, a bay or two of garbage. These people really come to work, and they bring their families, their friends. There was a coach that brought her team, her basketball team full of youth to also volunteer. So they truly back this, and they come to work that day. And I'm not going to read everything, but all those bullet points really added value to all the projects that our park staff could not get accomplished this season, and we were able to do it all within one day because of all those volunteers. And we make it worthwhile for them that we just don't send them out there with a litter picker and just say, go get lost in the woods, that they truly like working for the parks because it is value-added projects that they can be proud of. So we're hoping to bring them back on an annual basis. Also, Pringle Nature Center, they did host their Fall Fun Fest, and it was completely packed by the time I showed up for that one. The main parking lot was completely filled, shoulder parking on both sides, and even parking next to our pavilion. So highly successful, plenty of programs and events within that day. And I don't know if I shared that, but last year they do a butterfly release, and all those butterflies migrate all the way down to Mexico that are released over Pringle Nature Center. And last year, one of the butterflies actually made it, and they had documented that one specific butterfly from the Fall Fun Fest made it all the way to Mexico. So we're crossing our fingers that at least one makes it this year again. Also, Glow in the Garden, we partnered with the Beer Garden and the Boys and Girls Club to do the Glow in the Garden Run Walk that was hosted through the park as well as the golf course, and it was at night. So really cool pictures if you follow any of those organizations on Facebook. But they did a fantastic job, and the Beer Garden assisted in helping raise over $15,000 for the Boys and Girls Club this year. So hoping to make that into an annual event. Talked about Petrified Springs Beer Garden Oktoberfest. Kemper Center had their Oktoberfest, and Fall Wheel Ride also happened this last weekend. So you can see that things are still extremely busy for our Parks Division over here throughout the fall months. That's all I have.
Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, just a few comments. As you can tell from all the divisions that reported tonight, we still got quite a few projects to wrap up, and hopefully the weather's going to cooperate so that we can get most, if not all, of them done. Something I've been, and then we've obviously all been working on the budgets quite heavily the past month. Everything was wrapped up really about Thursday of last week, it seems, so that it could be ready for presentation to the board tomorrow night by the county exec. I've also reported about county fire, just to kind of keep the committee aware of, we will be switching the county fire to a new frequency. It's basically the frequency that all of the smaller municipalities, basically everything other than the Kenosha Fire Department, uses the same frequency to communicate on. We're actually switching to what was the old parks frequency. Was scheduled for this week, but there's a few things we want to work out with Twin Lakes to make sure that everything's going to work on their end the way we need it to work. It'll happen this month, but it'll happen a little later in the month before that switch takes place. Related to that, I reported about the simulcast system, which is the long-term solution for those agencies in the county that have a county-wide need to, on the public safety side, to communicate, which is the Sheriff's Department and County Fire. We did the interviews of the two RFPs we received in mid-September. We did interviews last week of both Motorola is the manufacturer, Baycom is the distributor of their products, and then Harris is the competitor to Motorola, and Gencom is the distributor of those products. We had two very successful sets of interviews and the proposals put together. The consultant we've been working with said they're two of the best that he's ever seen. We're in the process of vetting those things and making a final selection on who would be the selected vendor. Those funds are part of the 2019 budget, so we aren't going to be able to award anything unless things are approved as the budget process this year. But that's where that project is at. Let's see. We're keeping plugged in with the WISCON-related activities, continues to consume Clement's time, some of the staff within the Highway Division, planning and development's time, my time. But it's all been pretty positive. Everything has been moved forward. If there has been an issue, the DOT has been pretty darn responsive, and all the municipalities on the north side of our border have been very cooperative too. So it's been an adventure, but I think everybody at this point is working together. So that's pretty much it from our department. Oh, the only other thing is there was something at Brookside. I was just going to mention that there was an interesting situation that happened Friday afternoon that required us to get a backup generator down to the facility, the new facility, over the weekend, just to be on the safe side, because the generator, we went to do its monthly test on Friday and it failed, and there was a technical issue that hasn't been completely resolved, but we took precautionary measures to make sure we had backup power in the event there was a situation that brought down primary power in that area, which happens about 3 to 4 times a year, not always weather related, oftentimes traffic related. So but at this point, it appears we've got everything in hand, just in case anybody heard anything through the grapevine. I would like to make you aware of those things. Everything is covered at this point, so we're good to go.
You mentioned the general frequency for fire, and then you mentioned the Sheriff's Department. And about a week or so ago, they put out a reverse 9/11. It either didn't go out right away. Were you aware of it? Is that part of the system that you're...
It's not part of this system, yeah.
Then we
won't
talk about it.
Yep.
Thanks.
Nothing else for Ray? If not, I'll ask for a motion.
Second.
I'll talk to Ray. Let's see if you have. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, everyone, for being here. We're here.
Thank you, everyone.